Hey everyone, it's Sonia here with the Sonia Janice Show. It is the first show that I am actually recording in 2026. So whenever this one shows up, it's number 209, but there's a few other ones that still need to be uploaded. But this is actually the first one of 2026, which is great news for you. It means we're continuing down this path of not just health and happiness, but empowerment and clarity and confidence, and what all of that means to you as a Gen X woman, as somebody who may be neurodivergent and just needs a few tweaks along the way to be successful. Not just this episode is for you, but all of our episodes are for you because I am that person. I am that, not just that coach. But I am actually that person who is a Gen X woman who is neurodivergent in a couple of different areas and who walks the walk every day. And I walk the walk, but I bring friends along with me for the walk. So today we have a special guest with us. It will be a heart to heart. So again, that means we will be posting this up on our YouTube channel. Deborah's mission is to empower self-reflection by teaching women to decode the language of their unconscious and tap into a deep source of wisdom. Doesn't that sound exciting? L Deborah, please, from here, take it from here. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Oh, well, thank you. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too.
Cheers to a healthy, prosperous
Oh, you can't see it.
2026.
There's a water bottle here. There we go,
Oh,
guys.
there
Cheers.
we go. Yes, love it. So I'm Dr. Deborah Lukovich, and I am a depth psychology coach and author and the host of my own podcast called Dose of Depth, where I encourage and entice people to find deeper meaning in everyday life events. So, my story these days, because I am one of the early Gen X women, I was one of the early pioneers of disrupting all sorts of things. And at the time, I never had a word for my unique way of being in the world, but now we call it neurodivergent. So I've always been a misfit. But I think one thing that helped me is I also always had an entrepreneurial spirit. So I was used to designing my life to my own needs, as opposed to I had very little patience fitting into other people's constructs. And I never lasted long at organizations and companies because what would happen is they'd love me in the beginning. And then they would become annoyed with me over time. So I
I'm
went
not
from
laughing at
people's.
you, girl. I'm not laughing at you. And I shouldn't call you
No, I
girl
know
when
you
you're a
can.
doctor, but I'm not going to be sitting on the couch saying, "Hey, doc," with my bestie, or with even with a girlfriend. I'd be like, "Hey, girl." I get that, right? Companies want you at the beginning, your intelligence, your experience, your smile, honestly, and everything that's behind that smile. But as soon as you start, as soon as you clock in, everything seems to change immediately.
Well, for me, yeah, and I actually have one of my misfit friends is Cher Griffin, and she's founder of the Compassion Collective. So she's a late diagnosed autistic person, ADHD, she's gifted, all of this stuff. So she talks a lot about like burnout. But for me, and perhaps part of it is my psychological type as well. And I don't know, like it didn't change right away. So what was kind of disheartening is I would often be told that I was exceeding expectations, right? And it's when I, after sort of taking time to absorb, and part of a neurodivergent brain is that you perceive more, you have an enhanced perception to identify patterns or whatever it was. So when I would start sharing my observations about things and it didn't match, right? So that's when then I went from like, oh, you're the best ever, to, oh no, we don't want you to question what we're having you do. So like I said, my entrepreneurial spirit, I have been an entrepreneur more times than I've worked for other people. But my conversations these days revolve around my midlife unraveling and reconstruction. And that unraveling coincided with this irrational calling to pursue a master's PhD in depth psychology, which is the study of the unconscious. So some of your listeners and viewers may have heard of Carl Jung, and he may have taken the Myers-Briggs personality inventory, which is rooted in his theories of psychological type. So it was the unconscious that was leading me. And when I felt called to pursue that for unknown reasons, not knowing why, how it was going to help me, it was very expensive. That was like the first time in my life that I followed an irrational calling. And that is your unconscious. So, what is the meaning of that? I sort of got tricked into pursuing it, and then I lived all these concepts in real time, and I had a framework to find deeper meaning in my experience. So now, circling back, this is what I help other people do. And the unconscious speaks to us in many different ways, including dreams and attraction and arousal and conflict and emotional outbursts, but also through the body. So when we talk about health and well-being, all of our body issues, whatever they are, have a psycho-spiritual aspect. And so that's one thing that I bring in as well in working with my clients is how is their unconscious using their body to communicate something to them? So that's kind of a Reader's Digest version of where I am now.
Well, and what I love about this, and first of all, you do call neurodivergent misfit,
I
right?
love it.
Right? And
Yeah, I
it's
love
your
it.
own unique spin on it. And
Yeah.
I too am late diagnosed, and I'm sure there's a majority of our listeners that are late diagnosed, like, wow, words not coming out today, late diagnosed as well, just by putting two and two together, right? And lean into that if you think that's where you're at, because you're certainly going to get through life a little bit, a lot of bit easier once you know where you stand, even if it's just something that you believe. But there was something else that you brought up. Irrational calling equals your unconscious. Okay, expand.
So this is how it happened. Like, it actually was a time that my life was fairly stable, but there were some issues. And one day I said, "Hey, family, want to go on a walk?" And they all agreed. And I was like, "Huh, that's interesting." Like, they all agreed. That seems odd. So we start going on a walk, and about 2 blocks into it, it starts raining. Well, it's summer and I love getting caught in a summer rain. I love it. It's
Yeah,
romantic to me.
it
And
is.
I
I
and yeah,
I'm a
am
little
I
different, but yes, the heat, the feel that you can feel it all. I mean, my
Wait.
next level would be dancing in the rain under the,
Yes.
yes.
So some of us have that sensory, like we like that sensory input. So anyway, my husband at the time was like, "Oh, it's raining. Let's turn back." So the kids are like, "Yeah, let's turn back." And then I'm like, "No, this is fun. Let's just consider it an adventure." And then the kids were like, "Yeah, let's do that." And then I had this deja vu moment and said, and it happens really fast. And only in hindsight can you actually kind of go back and discern that I had this moment where I was like, "Oh, I've been here before, where I'm the cheerleader and I'm the mediator between my husband and my children, and it's exhausting. I'm done. I'm done cajoling, seducing, cheerleading." And so I did the opposite of what I usually do. So I didn't know anything about depth psychology, right? This is going to come later. But in this moment, I'm like, "What I'm doing isn't working." And so I stopped talking because usually my words are how I get myself out of things. And I zipped it and I said, "I'm going. I don't care what you people do." So I walked and everybody followed me. So we went into this old-fashioned pharmacy and I bought a yoga journal. And I was like, "I don't know why I'm buying this yoga journal. I just bought it." And later on, the chapter where I talk about this in my book is called Inspiration on the Toilet. So I'm in the bathroom upstairs and I'm paging through yoga magazine, and I don't usually do that on the toilet. And I go to the back door where all those ads are, and I don't usually do that either. And then I see this logo and it's fiery orange and red, and it says Master's PhD in Depth Psychology. And I had a visceral response and I was like, what
Okay.
is that? And I immediately went to my office, my home office, and I went on the website and I'm like, I don't know what this is. It's like a mysterious language. And all I know is I've heard of Carl Jung and oh my God, oh my God. And I'm like, I in that moment knew I had to have this because it would save my soul.
Okay.
And so that was the first time in my life where I was like, this doesn't make any sense. And for 3 weeks, I plotted and I planned because I knew my husband was not going to go for this. It was an expensive program. It was hybrid. It was part in California. But I kept it a secret. And I'm like, I have to pursue this no matter what. And so that's what I mean. Like, that was the first time in my life where, like, this doesn't make any sense and I have to do it. And so that was my unconscious. And a synchronicity, how Carl Jung would define it, is your inner world is looking for something in the outer world to make this connection, this aha moment. So it's a coincidence, but it's a meaningful coincidence. And something emotional happens where you're like, oh my gosh, I can't make sense of this with the mind, but my body knows it's right.
So let's stop right there for a second, because I loved what you said. Irrational calling e equals, well, I mean, it's backwards, but it's from your unconscious, right? And that equals emotional coincidences. Okay, so.
And we have these potentially every day, but we're not attuned, right? So we don't learn the language of the unconscious, right? But when you know the language of the unconscious, you become very attuned to, like, you suddenly, and neurodivergent people, they're more primed for this because they already perceive more than
Yes.
nor than regular people
Yes.
do.
Yes.
And so once you understand the different ways your unconscious is trying to get your attention, then you like see it, you just see what you never saw before.
So, yes, so true. Neurodivergent people, and you brought this up with the career piece, and again here, our senses are it's like spidey senses, right? It's literally like spidey senses, and I want to hone in here for just a second, reminding our audience that this is something to lean into. This is a gift. This is your body speaking to you. And speaking of your body speaking to you, are you into human design?
I know of it, and one of my clients, former clients, is a human design coach. So it lays nicely. It into you know, there's so much overlay
Well,
in.
there is, and that's what I wanted to ask, because you really literally got a sacral response, right? When you were in there to buy that book, and then when you were in there again to look at the back of that book, and when your whole body said yes, in a different language, in a different environment, that is completely your sacral response. That is your body talking to you. It can come through your throat. It can come through your gut. We don't want it coming from our head. I just want to let you all know, you don't want it coming from your head. That's you thinking
Well,
about it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, yes, the way that I would look at it is our mind, we know our mind is defensive, right, and protective. And our mind seeks to affirm and confirm and look for proof of all of our current beliefs. And many of our beliefs are very limiting and we're unconscious. So that is true. From a depth psychology perspective, what I help my clients do is develop a new relationship with their mind. Because the mind, so for example, our body, body keeps the score, right? So the body has a memory. And this is a like a easily understandable example. So at one point during the breakdown of my marriage, I recognized there was a little passive aggressive dynamic in certain conversations with my husband. I hadn't really understood what that was because of my own trauma. I didn't recognize it, right? So when I did recognize it, and it wasn't dramatic, right? It went something like this. I would say, I'm really stressed out about managing this. Can we have a conversation about what to do about it? And my former husband would say, well, I'm helping. And I would say, oh, I wasn't saying that you weren't helping. And so it was a deflection, right, from dealing with the issue. So once I recognized that, then I was like, okay, what do I do about that, right? So my body alerted me the next time it was there, but I didn't know what to do. So what I did was the opposite of what I usually do. So instead of explaining myself, defending myself, seeking to be understood, I did the opposite. And again, I zipped it and I said, whatever. And I walked out the door. Now, here's where the body and the mind can be tricky because the body does know the truth of the situation. So when I walked away from my husband, my body felt bad. It felt guilty. I felt like I was being mean because that is what my body's used to. My mind had to tell me, no, you did the right thing by doing something different. Right. And so then I had to learn how to develop the capacity to withstand the discomfort of setting the boundary until my body was safe setting that boundary.
That right there is so hard. And
Yes.
it doesn't matter what environment you're in. It doesn't
Yeah.
matter what walk of life you've gone through. It truly doesn't matter. I mean, I can recently think of some parallel examples where there was a conversation and I immediately asked a question and the answer surprised me. But not really. I think in my soul, I knew.
Yeah.
Right? I think in my soul, I knew. So my response to that and moving forward has been nothing. There's been no response. And letting my body know, like there was for a day or two, after a little bit of time, 3 or 4 days, there was, but I didn't like the way I was responding. So then I didn't respond. I just did what I needed to do and didn't respond. And
I love it.
that's I mean, you're absolutely right. Your body needs to know that you're safe.
Right. And sometimes your mind is helpful, right? So your mind is looking objectively and your body's panicking that, oh, I'm being a bitch right now. But
Pretty much.
your mind is like, no, you're not. Right. So this is what I mean by like, it's tricky though, right? That's why sometimes people don't know the difference between is it really intuition or is it a fear response? And a fear response is not intuition, right? It's a fear response. So intuition feels peaceful.
Safe
Exactly.
on
Where,
the insides, it feels safe.
yeah,
It feels,
yes.
you know what, you wouldn't have, and here's my headphones are bothering me, but we'll get there. You wouldn't have had the thought to begin with if it wasn't safe, and that's your intuition guiding you, right? No,
The thought to like do something different.
yes, different,
Yeah, yeah.
yes.
Yeah,
So,
I
whether
was
or not.
ready.
Yes, our
I love that.
readiness on that is a completely different ma matter.
Yeah.
But that whole thought itself, it's kind of like, it's a great question. I am very, I do, I'm religious. And so people have had questions with me about my business. And I'm like, here's the thing. First of all, it gives me something to do and I enjoy doing it and I love what I do. So that's first and foremost. But secondly, God has not inspired me to do anything else. There has been no other hits. So you're not given an idea, an intuition, something to run with if you weren't meant to do it. Right? Your job here is to follow up in that same direction and not to go backwards. And that's hard too.
Yeah, I mean, you're touching on the fact that like desire is something that is inspired. Desire is inspired. Now, for people who aren't attached to a religious doctrine, the way that I look at it through a depth psychology lens, And depth psychology is a spiritual psychology because if spiritual means connection and oneness, right? So
Okay.
spiritual, yes, I'm connected to something that transcends me. Some people call it God, some people call it the quantum realm, some people call it whatever, right? That is the connection in the oneness is a kind of result of inner reconciliation.
Okay.
So the first relationship that enhances your relationship with God or the transcendent is with your capital S self. So Carl Jung would say the self is this ordering principle in you that sort of prompts you toward growth. It's not deterministic at all. It's more like, huh, I got to push you this way, see what you can work out through, see what you can reconcile, whatever's at odds inside you, and then you expand your consciousness. And that self then is the bridge to being able to receive, right, from the transcendent.
I love that.
So your relationship with yourself is really a criteria for enhancing your relationship with whatever you want to call it, the quantum realm or God or whatever.
So, would you say that one can believe in both spirituality and God, or it starts with one and then leads to the other?
I mean, I think God, I just look at God as consciousness itself.
Okay.
I mean, I don't need to call it God,
Well,
but
and that's the thing. I was there. I was
yeah.
in a place where I would say I was spiritual and everything that you said was aligned. And I still agree 100%. But now I find that maybe and this is where I'm curious, have I gone to a different level where I can openly talk about it? Not that it's above, but just different, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, and you know, when you ask, I saw a banner the other day and I loved it. And it said, God is the original they, them. Right? God is everything.
True,
Right?
true.
It's silly human people that have ideas that need to categorize, like, what is God?
Right. That's true. It shows up in different ways. And this is not, I mean, this is not meant to be. I do have spiritual posts and I don't mind talking about it. And I think it's important because I do think it's like you said, it's a part of your relationship with yourself. It's a part of what's next as we're getting older. Whatever that looks like, there's no way to avoid it at this point, not in our generation, maybe other generations. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's science and weird things, but it natural, the natural progression is what I'm talking about here. I want to backtrack for just a second to make sure I caught this. Your relationship with yourself, that's it. What else did you say?
Oh, I said, okay, so your relationship with yourself, your whole psyche, including your unconscious, because even science affirms that up to 80 to 90% of you is influenced by your unconscious. So what that means is at any given moment of time, you only know 20% of what's going on with you. You actually don't know most of why you are doing this podcast. It's sort of, you could say it's divinely inspired. Like you are in touch with, there is something that's prodding you and inspiring you, right? So the unconscious, we have a personal unconscious, but our personal unconscious exists within the collective unconscious. And then there is everything, consciousness or God, if you want to call it that, right? So your relationship, the depth of your relationship to your own unconscious is the doorway then to the transcendent. And you could say between you and the transcendent are different collectives, right? The family collective, there's a family unconscious,
Yep.
right? They talk about family systems and therapy. There is a city unconscious. There is a company unconscious, conscious and collective unconscious. There is a global. And Carl Jung said, just like our biological DNA includes a whole history of biology of all life on Earth that's in our DNA, he would say that we have a psychic or psychological DNA that inside us, our psyche, includes the whole history of humanity's experience.
Inside us.
Yeah, inside, yes.
Interesting.
So we can tap. This is why, like in a dream, for example, you could be speaking another language and you're like, I don't know how to speak that language. Like, we literally, in our own psychic DNA, is the continuation of our ancestors. That's why some people go, oh, Johnny is exactly like great, great, great grandpa, whoever. They don't even know each other. But yet, right? So it's not only our biology, but it's also our psychology
Got it.
that is connected, right? Is connected to the whole.
That is so, to think about it, that is so like magically inspiring
Yes.
that the continuous, right? So my grandson, okay, first of all, I swear my grandson came for a reason and he knows it. Second of all, I keep on saying that I think this is what, I mean, my dad's still alive. He walks with a walker. He just had knee surgery. He's in the other room. But I keep on saying, I imagine this is exactly what my dad was like when he was a kid. And I have no idea where I'm getting it from, but it's like I innately know this, right?
I know
So
it's crazy.
it's cra like, yeah, it's I don't know if I want to use the word crazy, but maybe that's because you and I
It's
are a lot
cool. Crazy in a
cool.
cool way.
I'll do cool. And I was gonna say maybe because you and I are a lot more intuitive than like are us under the ADHD or neurodivergent umbrella are that much more intuitive than others. I wouldn't go as far as crazy, right? So, I've made plenty of notes already, but share with us, we've got a little bit more time before we have to wind this down. What else would you like to share? I know you've done quite a bit of things. So give us a bit of a rundown or share with us a little bit more information that you would love to have our audience take away.
Well, I think given that your audience is Gen X, the whole what a whole span of Gen X you could say is within the realm of what we call midlife. So, and there is Carl Jung would say that this is a natural part of our growth as a human being. The first part of our life, we are trying to both be unique and be accepted. And sometimes that rubs against each other, right? Sometimes we're forced to repress our talents as children. Sometimes we grow up in families where we're the only introverted intuitive. And so that's kind of like buried, right? And so, in our quest to both be unique and be accepted by society, we can become too one-sided and rigid. And then at a certain point, there's a buildup, and your unconscious is like, hello, it's time for you to be authentic. And because people don't have this framework that Carl Jung calls individuation, which is a process, that's what I take my clients through to come into relationship with their unconscious, it just sneaks up on you. So it might be suddenly, oh, my husband cheated on me, or oh, I'm having a strange reaction to whatever. Oh, I lost my job, or you might have something, or you have a health issue. So for some people, if they are repressing and suppressing and trying to keep it together, or they're trying to fix their marriage because they can't deal with the truth that they don't want to be married anymore, this will show up in your body. So sometimes it's an injury, an illness, and an accident. So what I want to say to people is that it is natural to get to this point where you have a crisis of identity, and it's not bad. It's actually your unconscious saying, hey, now it's time to really live according to, you could say, what God has planned for you, right? That you've been resisting, or that your soul wants from you, or that you have forgotten these parts of you that you forgot about. Your inner artist, for example. Like, I'm creating in a way that I never created because that I was. You know, my two sisters are really authentic, creative people. And so for me, I didn't feel comfortable embracing my creativity. And then as a result of your midlife unraveling. So what's happening during unraveling is what's coming to the surface is that there are things in opposition inside you. For me, it was my relationship between sexuality and spirituality. And once those two things, through my process of reconciling them, when you reconcile inner opposition, then something is unleashed, a new sense of purpose, a new mission, a new business, a new relationship, a new take on life, whatever it is. So there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's helpful to have a guide sort of walk you through that, which is why my new this book is my memoir, When Sex Meets God. It's about my story, but the book before that is called Your Soul is Talking, Are You Listening? And I teach people all the different ways that they can learn so that they don't have to have the all-out crisis. They can start like, oh, I see my body issues are trying to communicate this to me. I see that this problem in my relationship isn't about what I think it is, and it's something else that I have to do some work in myself. So I just want to encourage that, and especially Gen X. Remember, Gen X was the generation that disrupted authority patterns and systems. And so sometimes there is this friction between being a rebel, but also being a good girl and following the rules, right?
Right.
So we
It's
have
like one
this
extreme
tension.
or the other.
Yes, so we
Yeah.
have this, we have this tension. So depth psychology is a way to find the meaning in that experience, and which is why I do a lot of free content on my podcast and my blog, and I read all the chapters of that book for free on my podcast. And and then the memoir, When Sex Meets God, is the story of my own inner sort of reconciliation and what happened when I had that inner reconciliation. So
Oh,
midlife unraveling is awesome.
I want to ask you so many more questions, but I want to give our users, our readers, our audience, whatever language I'm trying to come up with here, a chance to dive into this information, like hear this podcast, dive into this information on their own, see what questions they have. And you can definitely put the questions on my YouTube underneath this podcast on the YouTube, and Dr. Deborah will go ahead and answer them, or I will answer them, or I will get them to her. That is the best place to put them, because then I will
Absolutely, I
see
love
them.
it.
And yeah, and I don't want to take this too much further, because there's actually a lot of heavy content we covered today. We made it light, we made it fun, we made it entertaining, but when you take a step back and you connect the dots, it is actually quite heavy. So for the sake of time, we're going to wrap today up, but I want to thank you so much for being on this show, for educating us on really, I mean, my biggest takeaway is I don't know, what would you say your biggest takeaway is? Like, for me, I think it's like this intuitive part, and I can't quite wrap my words around it. How about you? What would you say your biggest takeaway was from today?
Well, I mean, I think connecting, well, I think connecting the concept of neurodivergence, right? So there are more growing number of people that have this enhanced perception is what, and the world needs that. And that enhanced perception aligns very well with depth psychology and the spiritual. And like I said, depth psychology is a soul psychology. Because anytime you are about reconciling the inner, then that leads to reconciling the outer, right? And so the more that we are reconciling whatever is in opposition inside, we're able to show up in the world during this crazy time more effectively instead of emotionally reacting to it.
Oh, girl. Thank you so much, Dr. Deborah. I know I called you girl again. I've never really said it before, but
Oh,
I don't want to be
I
cut off at all with our recording. I've made some changes, and for now these are shorter recordings, but I think that's okay for the ADHD mind.
Yes,
Just
right.
saying. Okay,
Yes, thank you so much. Thank
my
you.
beautiful friend, thank you for joining us today, and I am sending you the biggest hug that we can then share with each other through connection and empower more women to just show up authentically how
Yes.
they are.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.